Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link below. Joel, quick comment regarding U.S. equity markets and almost a trend that it seems like we are seeing early on in the week in 2022. Yesterday was a great example of this. Today, also a good example where early morning trading, the markets are getting hit. Yesterday, we had all the markets down at least 1%, and the NASDAQ was down over 2%. And in all fairness, first couple hours of trading was looking a bit worrisome for markets. However, a buy started to come in about midday, and by the end of the day, the NASDAQ was up. Today, similar story. Markets open up kind of flat to down, sold off a little bit, and now have bounced back to positive territory with actually the NASDAQ leading the way. That's the interesting one to me. But Joel, what's this telling you about still the health of these U.S. markets and the ability for even intraday investors to come in and buy the dip?
Hey, Corey and Chad, thanks for having me. I think you have to look at the context of Monday's price action, looking at last week's price action, where the first day of the year, you make the new all-time high, right? Everyone's excited. We're gangbusters out of the gate. And then, you know, things start to taper off a little bit on Tuesday. You could feel, you know, the big money, you know, market going up, but selling into strength. And then, you know, Powell comes in on Wednesday and upsets the apple cart with information that we really already have. So then you had, you know, then you got hit on Wednesday. And I think that brought on a more defensive posture where they were still trying to sell on strength, but they had to bring their offers down, right? By the end of the week, you close on the lows for the week. You had some squirrely price action in the pre-market on Sunday, but it just, people kind of acquiesced on Monday. Like, okay, I can't sell this on strength. They're not letting me sell this on strength. I'm selling into weakness. And boom, they slam it, down, you know, quite a bit. Not quite, you know, to the levels where, you know, you'd really like to bring it in, not back to your December lows or actually even your late December lows. And also, just let me add, Tuesday was the end of the Santa Claus rally too. So a little seasonal factors. And then you get a rip your face off rally yesterday, right? And everybody's like, oh, I missed it. I missed another opportunity to buy the dip. You have a 100 point plus rally. You add to it, 80 over during the day, 20 overnight. And then everyone that bought yesterday, oh, quick profit. Boom, I'm ringing the register. And meanwhile, all the buy the dippers are like, well, I got to get down and dirty today. If we sell off on anything that Powell says, I got to get in the market because I just missed a major bottom. And then you get the two-way action that you're having today. You did make a higher low by quite some margin, and you've made a higher high just incrementally under Monday. Over Monday's high. So you have to look at it in the context of the Santa Claus rally, of the Santa Claus rally ending, reacting to the Fed, reacting to higher interest rates, and then also coming into Q4 earnings season. You know, look at the run you've had in the banks, your JP Morgan, your Bank of America historical moves. Do I want to book a little profits ahead of the reports? I think you had a little combination of that as well. So kicking off Q4 earnings season, Thursday morning, Delta Airlines, you get the banks on Friday, and we can get back to trading the fundamentals instead of speculation over interest rates.
Well, Joel, you mentioned the Santa Claus rally kind of wrapped up. We're kind of in this whipsaw reacting to the Fed, getting ready for the Q4 earnings report season. But a lot of people put an extra amount of weight on this month in January. They call it the January effect. Yeah. So goes January, so goes the markets. Do you put a lot of stock in that for the shape of the rest of the year? Or do you think this is just normal beginning of the year positioning that people are going through and repositioning?
I think you have to. I mean, the January effect, you know, so goes January, so goes the market. I definitely put some stock in that. And also keep in mind, what about all those smart people? Oh, I'm not selling in 2021. I don't want to pay the taxes. I want to sit on my money and then sell it at the beginning of the year and then sit on my money for a year before I have to pay taxes. So that was another contributing factor. But yeah, I definitely put some stock in the January effect and the rotation. You, And you know, a lot of people were looking for those growth stocks to come out of the gate hard. They didn't, and a lot of people took hits on it. And maybe the January effect for these growth stocks, you know, maybe it started a week later or a week and a half later. The market loves to pull tricks on you. And I think that maybe you're just getting a little delayed reaction in these growth stocks. They are certainly turning up, look like they have found some bottoms yesterday and turning up today. So same factors. It's just always timing in the market. And you know how difficult timing in the market can be.
Yes, very difficult. But the one thing that I love about the markets is that they really do try to predict the future. And that's one thing we can say. Markets are forward-looking. So, Joel, what's the big picture aspect that the markets are telling you right now? Is it the fact that we are more, or the markets are more or less ignoring the spike in COVID and the reopen trade is still very much a play? Is it the fact that markets are expecting maybe 3 rate hikes from the Fed and they're adjusting for generally higher interest rates? What are some of the main takeaways you have for what the markets are telling you?
From the reopening trade, the way these airlines and cruise lines are acting, just as of late, you're not back to your recovery highs, but they're like they're looking past COVID. You know, there was a short report on Royal Caribbean that didn't really knock it down. CCL, Carnival Cruise Lines, knocking on the door, $22, trying to break out. You know, it seems to me that you know the market has, you know, gotten past this stage of the virus ahead of a lot of people. So also the TINA, you know, where else do you put your money? There's no other alternative out there. The banks are talking, yeah, four rate hikes. Well, that's good for their book, right? They want the rate hikes. So I think the market is looking past this latest wave. The reopening trade has some legs. And you know, the interest rates still, if you look at things on a long-term basis, rates are still at a historically low levels. And I think Jerome Powell is just, he's waiting for these supply chain issues to resolve themselves. And he's taking on a more hawkish stance because the market, you know, demanded that of him. But you know what? He's data dependent. If he can keep raising, or first they got to dump all their bonds on everybody. But once they get that, I mean, if the market throws up, you know, a taper tantrum, then they won't go 4 times. I think as much as he says he's data dependent, he's market dependent. And as long as he can take these rates up incrementally, I think he will. If the market starts to fall apart, he won't. But I think he has a bigger plan looking farther out and maybe banking on a little bit of luck with some of these inflationary pressures being relaxed a little bit. And I think that was kind of evidenced in his testimony today.
Well, Joel, you mentioned, you know, inflation, the Fed there. Do you think there's any particular sectors that will benefit? You also brought up the financial sector. Do you think they'll continue to be a beneficiary of the rate hikes and that, you know, that'll help their business? Is there any other sectors like financials that will benefit from this rate hiking cycle?
No, not really. I mean, I think that for your growth stocks, it just doesn't have to be a huge, you know, a quick increase in their earnings, because the reason the growth stocks are being ignored is because their future value of their earnings are being discounted by inflation. So, man, the value trade, I mean, is the value trade that start? I just think there's a little rotation going out of here. I don't think markets is afraid as interest rates as it is. And this value trade looks a little bit crowded now, and it looks like they're getting a little bit more speculative on the growth tech. And, you know, as long as the NASDAQ just doesn't flop, then I think some of these growth stocks have a chance. So value, a little bit of a crowded trade now, a little bit more shift to growth. We've seen this. They're coming from extremely oversold conditions, and it has to be more than a 1 or 2 day rally in order to say these things are out of the woods.
Well, Joel, one of the sectors that I was thinking of when I was asking the question was energy, because it tends to do good in inflationary times along with financials. And it seems like oil price had taken a dip at the end of last year, but it's back up again. What do you think of the energy sector?
I mean, you know what? It was a winner last year. Crude's continuing higher. I'm looking at the XLE exploding. I mean, hey, if you're going with the winners from last year, then, you know, go with it. As long as oil, you know, as long as we don't run into another pandemic and the world shuts down again, there seems to be a steady demand for oil and an increasing demand and a little bit of limited supply. I mean, it's a trading range, 65, you know, gets a little bit scarce. 85, everyone's pumping. You know, you kind of hit the bottom of that range quickly in crude. So that just kind of goes with, you know, no big hiccups with the, with the pandemic. So you're going with the winners from last year. Crude's not back up to the highs from last year. So, it paid dividends for you in 21. It's been an underperforming sector over the years. Maybe it's time it also fits in with the value trade a little bit. So that's my outlook for those sectors.
So Joel, real quick before we get you out of here, let's talk about gold, because gold's back above 1800, has some of the gold bugs excited. But look, you have the argument of longer term, going back to 2019, we're seeing higher lows, but you also go back mid 2020, we're seeing lower highs. We're getting into a tighter range, but boy, oh boy, it feels like we've been talking about 1800 for over a year, mostly because we can. What are your thoughts on gold?
Yeah, it got a little bit ahead of itself. I'm still looking at this 1820. You did poke your head above it. Let's see, at the end of last year. But I look at things, you know, you got a couple closes above 1820. So until gold can like put that 1820 in the rearview mirror and, you know, put in, you know, go up to 1840, then put several lows in that, you know, in that area, old resistance, new support, I'm not looking for another leg higher. But the trading range, as nauseating as it's been since the middle of December, you know, 1780, 1785, 1820 to 1830. So does it fit in growth? Does it fit in value? I mean, some of these gold stocks do pay a dividend. But, still the trading range. And you also have to think, if it was a hedge for inflation, inflation's up and gold hasn't gone now, then when the heck's it going to go?
That is the question, though. What is going to drive gold from here? I know a lot of those longer-term arguments, but right now, there are still other sectors that are doing quite well. Interesting to see this year, though, number of sectors that are also really struggling. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Always great chatting with you. Hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again next week.